So I came across this article this morning, and it was really about, what is it? It kind of frustrated me in a sense, because like, I don't like to rag on electric cars, right? I think that like, the more and more I do research, I think that they will end up like becoming like a popular drivetrain option, right? So in the long run, I do think that they will serve their purpose, and I think they will serve their purpose very well. But what I don't understand and what I don't like about all of this is that is how like the government is trying to incentivize you to buy an electric car, right? They're trying to provide you with a grant. And I came across this article on Car and Driver, and it's basically, it's California, or not California, but California in general, like, you know, we know, as far as like our car community is concerned, that they're trying to, by 2035, they're trying to get rid of all gasoline cars in California, right? Like, you can't buy a gasoline car, right? Which doesn't really make any sense in my opinion, but that's neither here nor there. But they're specifically, this article specifically is in the Bay Area, and it's a grant program that offers up to $9,500 to trade in your gasoline car for an EV, right? Excuse me. And just on headline alone, that doesn't sound too bad, right? Because that can essentially be your, you would think it was like, oh, I can use $9,500 as a down payment on my electric car, right? Which would make it easier for me to afford this car. Or, you know, would they give me like, they give you like a $9,500 tax incentive for it. Okay, like, you would think that that would make a lot of sense, right? But diving deeper into the article, it says California program is a cash for internal combustion clunkers deal for people in lower income brackets, and this is specifically towards people in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And it says it's basically targeting those people in those 76 zip codes, right? So 76 zip codes on the program list in the Bay Area. If you trade in your 2005 or earlier personal car that has been registered in the Bay Area for 2 years, third, you can have a maximum income, a maximum household income of $51,520 for a single person household, or $69,680 for two people. For a family of four, the household income has a limit of $106,000. And you can't have, your car can't be for a nonprofit or a business, or you can't previously have gotten the car, you can't have it for a fleet, right? So when you're looking at like these qualifications, and you're like, well, how much money does it cost to live in San Francisco or the Bay Area, right? Because there's a reason why people are driving their 2005 car and they haven't traded in for a new car, right? I mean, let's just be honest, it's retarded expensive to live in California in general. Like, the median home cost in California itself is $684,000, right? So you need, so that's just like the median. And in San Francisco, the median home cost is $1.5 million. Like, let that sink in for a second, right? So if you're targeting lower income brackets of people, and you can only make a certain amount of money, you can only make $51,000 as a single person in a household, which in San Francisco, which means you're living with roommates at this point, and you already can't afford to live in California or in San Francisco. If you make $51,000, like, you just can't do that. That's something that's impossible. It's like the average cost of a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco is $3,300. Like, that's impossible for you to live. That's literally almost every dime that you have for a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco. Let alone, you know, you trying to buy food, and let's not even mention the amount of crime. And you can look online and articles everywhere and find videos and articles of people literally just walking out of CVS with bags and bags and bags of stuff because they can't arrest those people for the crimes that they are committing. And yet the California government wants people to focus on trading in their 2005 or earlier car that is paid off, that they can barely afford to live and afford the basic necessities that they have, on top of dealing with the insane amount of crime that's going on in the Bay Area right now. And you want to give them $9,500 to tell them, say, hey, go buy an electric vehicle that's on average $40,000 a month. Like, that's on average for a $40,000 car. Granted, you can buy a used electric car, or a used hybrid car, or a plug-in. But then again, it's like nobody's looking at the maintenance cost of this, right? Because everybody knows, like, after 8 years, you have to replace the battery in a Tesla, right? And that battery replacement is upwards of $20,000. And like, so who the fuck has $20,000 to pay for a battery replacement? Like, nobody's looking at car maintenance and how that's going to affect those lower income brackets of people. And I think that California government is failing its population, especially with this one, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all for you to say, I can give you $9,500, but I'm not going to take care of the insane amount of crime that we have. Like, stop focusing on cars and focus on the things that help people's quality of life. Help try to get that rent down. Help try to get those inflated prices down, that those taxes down, that help people provide a comfortable living cost. Like, it doesn't make any sense to live in San Francisco at this point. Like, there's plenty of videos showing, like, that place is a ghost town. Like, after COVID, like, it's just terrible, man. And out of all the things that they decide to say, hey, you know, we're going to bring this incentive program back because by 2035, you can't sell a gasoline car. Like, that's the least of your worries. Like, gas, like, cars are about, they say it's about 40% of the greenhouse gases in California. Okay, that's a decent number. That's a good number. But it's like, are we worried about greenhouse gases, or are we worried about, like, helping people in general? And I don't think that this is a program that's meant to help the people that is going to help, or that is aimed to help. Like, because there's a huge, like, gap in income when it comes to living in the Bay Area. And it's like, you can't afford to live as it is alongside having to deal with your insane amount of crime, and then on top of that, have to afford paying for a $40,000 car. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And so I don't see this as a good thing. I see this as a miss, to be honest, because now you have to take into account, like, maintenance costs and all the things that go along with taking care of a car that you didn't necessarily need to worry about when it came to driving a 2005 or earlier car. And now saying, oh, we can give you $9,500 to, or $7,500 or $5,500 to help you purchase this new car to get rid of your old car. And then they just take it to a scrapyard, which doesn't make any sense. They don't, like, if you're not recycling the car or using it for something else, like, what is the point of me giving you a car that I own for $9,500? Like, that doesn't make any sense right now. So that was just my take on that particular. That kind of frustrates me, because, like, because the people that it's aimed at, it doesn't help, right? Because now, I mean, we all know the issues that come with an electric car, right? So if you're aiming it at low income people, people who make, you know, let's say $39,000 and below, or I get, well, no, let's just say people who make, like, I don't even know how much, like, okay, so I'm a single person and I make $51,000, right? I live with three people in the Bay. I live with roommates. I'm single. I live with roommates in the Bay Area. And I qualify for this grant, right? They give me $9,500. I then have to go and get, I have to go and get a car loan for $40,000 to then afford a new car, right, that I didn't previously have to pay for. And now it's like, does it help? In a sense, yes, it does help. Like, you can put that money towards whatever car maintenance, or you can put it to the side, or you know, you could put it on the on your loan. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like, okay, so I still have this monthly expense. Now I have to pay insurance, and now I have this car maintenance bill as well, this yearly car maintenance bill. And yes, I'm getting incentives for the car, but it still is taking money out of my pocket. Even if it's like, even if my car payment is $300 a month, that's still $300 out of my pocket that I did not have to pay for previously, right? Because I was driving a car. And then I have to worry about charging said car, right? Because if you're living in an apartment, or if you're living in, you know, if you're living in a low income neighborhood, you have to charge your car. And we all know that if you don't have a 220 volt charger, then you're basically on a slow charge. And if you're driving any distance to go anywhere, like, you're gonna have to stop at a, let's say you have to stop at charging stations, right? And then you have to supercharge your car, right? That's money out of your pocket again. That's okay, so we can chalk that up to being like a gas cost, right? And then you still have to wait there, because it's not like it's a like 5, 10 minutes at the gas station. This is like a few, like an hour or two at a charging station. So that's another thing you have to take into account. And then a lot of people, like, they don't have, they probably can't, if they're in a low income neighborhood, they barely can afford to live as it is, and you put the car expense on top of that, like, then like, what if something goes wrong? Like, then you have the budget for that. So it just doesn't make any sense for the people that they're aiming it towards. And I think that this bill is a bit premature, in my opinion. This because electric cars just aren't there yet. They're not, they don't have like the wide adoption. And for people of low income status in the Bay Area, in those 76 zip codes who would qualify for that, they're not in a position to take on that type of debt right now anyway. And then they don't have $40,000 to go and pay cash for a car. So that would be financially irresponsible on their part to trade in the car that they have little to no like expenses on, and then they go and get another car that they have a bunch of expenses on. That just doesn't make any sense at all. That's financially irresponsible for them to do that. And the California government, I don't believe they're even like taking into account how this affects those people, or if they are, they just don't care, because this isn't going to help those people. In my, I don't believe that this is going to help those people. I believe that if they wanted to get electric cars off of, like, they wanted to sell all electric cars, I think that they should like wait or provide incentive to the automakers to make that technology more accessible to lower income people so that they can afford those cars. But because they're so expensive now and for like the foreseeable future, it doesn't make any sense to jump on that train right now because they're really expensive. And like I said, I wouldn't even jump on the train until like I saw like a fully electric plug-in Toyota Corolla, because Toyota Corollas are super cheap. Like, if you can't provide me with like a $15,000 to $20,000 car that's electric and they can get like 250, 300 miles out of it, then it doesn't make any sense to get on that train, because you don't have, it's not very accessible right now. Like, you, like, for me personally, like, I would have to charge my car, like, right now where I live at, if I have to leave my house to get gas, right, which I do when I leave today, I have to go and get gas. There's two gas stations. I could go either way to go to a gas station within like a mile of my house. Actually, there's like four gas stations within a mile of my house, right? There isn't one single electric charging station within that distance, right? So then I have to go up the highway about 10 miles to get to the nearest charging station. And I have to sit at said charging station for 1.5 hours or 2 hours. And then I have to say, I have to drive to work. So that will mean that I would have to leave at the time of recording this right now, and I would have to go and sit at the charging station and allow my car to charge, or if I'm charging it at home, right? But I don't have a 220 volt charge, and it takes 10 hours to charge your car from the time that you from empty all the way up. I know that was like the Chevy Bolt, right? It takes 10 hours on a regular like 110 charge It might be longer than that because I don't know if it was saying 110 or if it was 220, but I know it was like DC. It's like they have like that DC supercharging at your house, but then that will require you to have a DC current to be installed into your house, you know? So it's like now that's another expense. You have to have an electrician come and install that into your garage, right? And even a 220 volt charge, like you have to have, like I would have to have an electrician come, I have to pay an electrician to come to my house to then install a separate 220 volt socket in my garage so that I could charge my car. But then it would need to be two because me and my wife would both need to charge our cars if we both were to get electric cars in our garage. And that's just like insane to think about. Like I have, like for what you have to go through to get to that point of having a all green car, which isn't green at all because Alabama Power burns natural gas to give us electricity. Like that doesn't make any sense at all. That's so stupid. So it's like we still have coal burning power plants in Alabama. Like how does that make any sense at all? Like none of this makes any sense. It's like, yeah, we have mixed power and we have hydroelectricity and all that type of stuff as well with Alabama Power, but it doesn't make any fucking sense at all. Like you want green gas from cars. It's like you're worried about cars. We still have coal burning power plants. We have natural gas power plants. We have hydroelectric power plants. We have solar panels. And it's like, it's like the carbon emissions from making solar panels is more than cars put out. So I don't know, man. This is just, it's really just frustrating. And I think that if they would just tell us the truth about it and tell us the reason why they want us to do this, then it would be fine. But it's like, because they're not telling us the full truth about it, and they're pushing these incentives on people to make them think that it's a cool thing to get an electric car, and they're not understanding like what comes with that and the things that you have to do on your side for your personal infrastructure at your home and your personal power grid at your home for that to be successful, for that to make the most sense, not even like the best sense, but like probably the most sense for you, then it's just disingenuous in my eyes. Like just like tell people what they need to do. Tell them like the cost that's associated with that. How much does it cost to replace a battery? How much does it cost to replace, like let's say like one of my electric engines go out? Like how much does that cost? Like is there anything specific or special that I need? Like those things need to be talked about and needs to be expressed before you get even go to the dealership. Like that's not something that needs to be, that's not a cost that you need to figure out after you buy the car. Like you need to know those maintenance costs. Like we have to be financially responsible for that. And I don't want to get caught out one day. Like all of a sudden, you know, your car, like your battery charge is not charging fully. Like you're getting like 70% charge on it. Cause I mean, batteries die. They, you know, they lose their charge after a certain amount of time, which is just normal. That happens. I mean, it is what it is. We all know that, right? So it's like, you don't want to be like, oh, well, I'm charging my car and I'm spending the same amount of time, but I'm only getting 70% of my charge. And then you take it to the dealership and they're like, oh yeah, it's going to cost you $13,000 to get a new fucking battery. Like what? What? You serious? Like that's crazy. Like who has that type of money to afford something like that? And then it's like, it's not like you can just go to the junkyard and buy a new engine, right? Like right now, you know, you can go to the junkyard, you can buy a new engine from Pull Aparts for next to nothing, right? Yeah, you have to do the work, but it's like you don't have that luxury with an electric car. Like you can't just go to AutoZone and get a new battery. Like that doesn't exist. Like you can go to AutoZone and buy a new LS motor right now. Like they have that. Like that is a thing, but you can't go buy a new electric motor for your Chevy Bolt. Like it's just not a thing. And if it is a thing, it's crazy expensive. So now you're called out and you don't even know what's going on and you're stuck in this situation to where you have a car that you can't use, but you got this $9,500 incentive to get it. Like a couple years back, and now you're left holding the ball because you were financially irresponsible and you believe that the government was there to help you provide you with a better car because greenhouse gases, right? I don't know. Like, I think that there needs to be more conversation about it, and I think that there needs to be more transparency behind this whole thing. And I think that we as a consumer have to do better with asking more questions about this and questioning, you know, why this change is coming all of a sudden, and why by 2035 in California that we have to, you know, why they stop selling cars, and how this is going to benefit us. Because at the end of the day, like, if it's not going to benefit us, then it doesn't make any sense. And we need to force those automakers to then, you know, be transparent about this. Because if this is like a takeover and you're trying to push this agenda on us, like, be transparent. Like, give us all the knowledge, give us all the specifications and all the information so that we can make the best decision possible. Because it's going to be a hard transition for a lot of people to go from a gas car to an electric car. And it's like, yo, we need y'all to, you know, step up, like, put electric charging stations everywhere. Like, these things need to be more efficient. Like, we need to, you know, we need to understand, like, how long it takes to charge these cars. Like, don't just give us the marketing pitch. Like, give us the real shit. 'Cause, like, we need that. And I think, like, if it's not gonna come from the automakers, like, I guess it's like the job of the community to sit here and tell people how this is gonna go. That shit just frustrating. 'Cause, like, I don't believe that you can tell somebody from a lower income bracket, when they're in survival mode on a constant basis, that they need to get a new car because California government says so. Like, that's just not something that can happen. Like, if you're in survival mode, the last thing you're thinking about is getting a new car. And if you are thinking about getting a new car, then you're just irresponsible in general. And for those who are responsible and they're like, yo, I can't afford this, like, what happens to them? Like, what if you still give them the $9,500 and they can't afford a car? Like, I know, like, one of the things was they give you money to put on your public transportation card. Like, they'll give you all the money for public transportation, but then it's like, okay, cool, but now I had to give up my car for public transportation because you said so. And, like, I don't, and then, like, at that point, like, the money just goes back to the government, and you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you give me, let's say you get the top tier because of your car, your income bracket, and now because you choose not to have that expense out of your pocket every month because you can't afford it, they give you the money on, you take the public transportation, right? Or 500, you know what I'm saying? You take $500 on the public transportation, right? And then it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, the article is pretty in-depth, and I mean, it gives, like I said, it gives you rebates for a 2000, give you rebates for $2,000 worth of install on a home charger, right? So that puts money towards getting your 220 volt, right? But okay, so you got that. But then it's like, it doesn't help you with, like, the expense of paying for that, right? You know what I'm saying? So, and then it's like a pub, and then it says $500 public charging car. Like, that goes out the window after a while. Like, all that money, like, dries up after a while because it wasn't your money in the first place. So it's like, whatever rebates they're giving you, all of that eventually dries up, right? And you end up having to foot the bill for this by yourself. And yeah, they might provide you with incentives to get your chargers and get all of this type of stuff. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, if you can't charge your car at home, go to work and charge your car, and then have charging stations in between, then it doesn't make any sense to have an electric car in 2021 or 2022, right? Because, like I said before in the EV episode, if I can't charge my car at work, then it doesn't necessarily make any sense for me to, excuse me, to have an electric car, right? Because it's like, at this point, like, the cheapest electric car, right, is what? I'm not mistaken, it's still like that Mini, right? So it's like, if I can't charge my car at work, then it doesn't do any good for me. So what's the cheapest electric car is like what the Nissan Leaf, and you get estimated 149 to 226 miles. So I'm assuming it's around 150 miles, like realistically with driving, and you might get 200 miles out of it. But at the but it's like the thing, excuse me, for a decent battery. Oh, this is a hybrid anyway, right? So the Nissan Leaf is a hybrid. What is this? The Mini? So this is an all-electric car, right? This Mini is $30,000. And yes, you get a tax credit, right? You get a plug-in tax credit. But the range on it is 114 miles. The Chevy Bolt EV is 247, which is a little better, and the starting price is 32, but it's like the average is like 40, right? So it just doesn't make any sense. This and then if you have like this Nissan MX30, it is starting price is 35, and you get an estimated 100 mile range. Like, who the fuck wants to drive a car with 100 miles? Like, that's literally enough to get me to car to work and back and charge my car every single fucking day. Like, that is insane. Like, that is insane, and the car looks like shit. So the Honda Ionic Electric is 35,000, and you get an estimated 170 miles. So it's like it just like right now out of the cars I get almost 300 miles. I get like 312 miles on average out of a tank of gas. And so like it just doesn't make any sense in this day and age to get an electric car. Like at the price that you're paying for a car at this point, $35,000, that's a lot of money. That's almost $350, $400 in just car payments, you know, on top of insurance and things like that. And it just doesn't, it's just not, it's not a financially responsible decision to make just to get rid of greenhouse gases on my part for Tristan, in a sense, right? It doesn't benefit me at all to say, you know what, I'm gonna go spend $35,000 on an electric car because I want to be greenhouse, I want to have no greenhouse gases, right? It just doesn't make any sense to do that. So from my perspective, I think this was a oversight, and I don't believe that they really care about how this affects people. But that's enough for that for today. Thank you all for listening and me ranting about the California government being stupid.